episode 38 of Welcome to Level 7, Season 1, Episode 14, Tahiti.
Welcome to Level 7, the podcast about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Welcome to Level 7, the unofficial podcast of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's right, Agent Daniel is able to do a beautiful job with that open. Don't you agree, my friend?
I, Ben Avery, the other guy, do agree somewhat.
Why? I'm just saying, no post-credit today out of the introduction.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah, that was smooth.
You're a smooth operator, my friend.
You know it. You know what wasn't smooth?
I do not know what wasn't smooth.
Tahiti. It stressed me out.
I knew it was going to.
I am a total stress ball right now, and I definitely, and it's going to take us a while, I need to decompress.
Because you just got done watching it. I watched it when it aired, and then I had to wait for you to come home and watch it. And so I've had time to decompress, and let me tell you, there's a lot to think about in this episode. The episode, of course, in question is T-A-H-I-T-I, Tahiti.
And it is questionably a magical place, questionably.
We'll get to that. We will get to that.
All right. Hey.
Yes.
I think we might need to thank some people.
We do need to thank some people. We, first of all, need to thank Brian Snook. Yes, we need to thank Brian Snook.
Yeah, that's the ticket. Brian Snook.
Well, big thanks to him. Should have gone out last week, and we forgot, actually. He designed some Facebook art for us, and we really, really appreciate him doing that. It was really cool. And it's always fun to have that kind of thing come up. So, we also have some thanks to give out. But that's for next week. So never mind about that. We'll be giving a thanks next week for that. But we do have some supporters that we need to thank. First of all, just on a general level, we do want to thank people who have supported us and downloaded the Howard the Duck episode. And if you go to welcometolevel7.com/Howard, you'll find out what we're talking about. We're talking about the full-length Howard the Duck commentary that we have created as a thank you for anyone who supports us and supports the podcast.
I think they call that bumper to bumper.
So we do have two thank yous to give out. If you do the enough said level, the $5 level is called the Excelsior level. And then there's the $10 True Believer level. Then there's Enough Said level. And the Wah! Level. If you do the Enough Said level, you get a shout-out in the episode. And so we are giving a shout-out right now. Special shout-out to Agent Stewart. Special shout-out to Agent Brian. That's Brian Snook as well. And also for being our first person to support the podcast. Special shout out to Agent Anderson.
That's my boy right there.
Yeah. And so we appreciate Stuart and Brian were both Enough Said levels and really appreciate it. They get to download just as a fun gift, the Howard the Duck episode, which we recorded a feature length commentary about Howard the Duck, about Steve Gerber, about that movie, about George Lucas, about a bunch of stuff. And again, it's just a kind of a thank you thing to give to you for supporting the podcast, and we do really appreciate it.
So that's right. Tonight we bring you Tahiti, as sponsored by our good friends Stuart and Brian.
That is truth. And that is really helping, because we do have some bills coming up here. So let's see. Next on the list, I think that we can actually move into our news. Our intelligence report. I think we can go into that now.
Let's do that.
All right.
S.H.I.E.L.D. intelligence report.
Okay, not a lot of news today. We are part of the Noodle Mix Network. which you've heard that bumper at the end of our podcast, that has other podcasts about TV shows and other things like that. There's a podcast about Once. There's a podcast about Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. There's a podcast about Under the Dome. And then now there's a new podcast coming out from the Noodle Mix Network about the TV show Resurrection. And that can be found at resurrectionrevealed.com. Or you can go to our show notes, welcometolevel7.com/Tahiti, which with no periods because it's a URL. So don't put periods after each letter, Tahiti. And you can find a link to that new podcast.
Now remind me, is not one of the hosts of this Resurrection podcast?
It's Wayne Henderson and Troy Heinrichs. Wayne, I remembered. Troy, I did not remember. Sorry, Troy.
Well, but I do believe that those are two very experienced gentlemen when it comes to television criticism.
I believe that Wayne Henderson has been podcasting since he was podcasting about Lost. Is that
right? I believe that's how I came in contact with him.
Yeah.
Through a third party.
And he's also podcasting about
Under the Dome
for the Noodle Mix Network.
Yep.
Yeah. So
I would say if you're going to be watching Resurrection, I would probably check out this podcast.
I think you're in good hands with Wayne. And I'm sorry, Troy. I forgot you. But I also forgot.
I get it, Troy. I know what it's like to be the second half after the end. You know, it can be tough sometimes. You know, Ben and Daniel, Wayne and
Troy.
Troy. Yeah. You know, yeah. It happens. Well, so maybe Troy and I just need to, you know, team up.
And maybe someday we need to tell our listeners what my name for you used to be when you were on the other podcast.
It wasn't exactly flattering.
That's for our 100th episode.
There you go.
Or one year anniversary.
All right.
Okay, moving on. Drew Pearce has given an interview, and I am calling this interview Drew Pearce tells Ben and Daniel that they're going to have a lot more work to do, confirmed. You want to hear about this?
Let's hear it.
Okay. There's an interview on TotalFilm.com that I read, and this interview is causing me to reconsider slightly, maybe, my opinion about All Hail the King. I don't know yet. I feel like I've given this a lot more time than it almost deserves as far as just like thinking about it and kind of pondering it.
I'm going to be honest. That's kind of where I'm at, as I think you're overthinking this.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying not to think about it. So that's why I'm saying maybe. But this is here's the important thing. OK, in this interview that he gave, he basically confirmed that the Netflix series are indeed going to be part of the MCU. And I'm trying to find the quote.
Was that really questioned?
I questioned it. I was not sure. I thought maybe they could be their own thing.
No.
It could have been.
Why?
To give it its own standalone universe. You know, this is the Netflix stuff. And then they could go with more of like an R-rated type of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Mood?
Mood or
but why couldn't they do that anyway? I mean, I'll tell you,
I think that they can't do that because they've established a PG-13 audience. They've established that we're making more mature, you know, the classic superhero thing. Every superhero thing right now is PG-13. And so I think that they're kind of going to be sticking with that. But the thing was, with Netflix, they were able to have their TV shows go out with that TV MA rating, which means they're able to have the language and the sexual situations and the violence in them. And I did wonder, okay, if they were going to go that route with the Netflix shows and do TVMA rating on those shows, you know, make them their own thing.
Again, can it be any more curse words than All Hail the King? I mean, we've already been pushing the envelope anyway.
It could be a lot.
No, they're not going to go that far.
That's what I'm saying.
They won't, though, because of the fact that they know that there's going to be kids who are going to want to see the Defenders.
Right. That's why I'm saying that it probably won't be now, because it's part of the MCU. So he basically said, I love Jessica Jones. And while obviously Jessica Jones and Alias is now going to exist in the Netflix part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I'd always obsessively been trying to put her in stuff I've been working with Marvel on. It's a slow news day. You know, there's not a lot to report here. There's some new Winter Soldier TV spot that was on tonight, and there was also a YouTube TV spot that was sent to us that was different than the one they showed on TV.
Yeah, I noticed that because I did stop, and I was going to say, "Oh, I'm just going to fast forward over this. I got to get to Ben." And then I was like, "Wait, this looks a little different."
Yeah, it was totally different. Both of them are really good.
Hey, can I just say this? Mm-hmm. And I know that this has been out on Facebook a little bit, but avoid the toy aisles. I walked into a toy aisle the other day. And I put it up on Facebook, and I saw an action figure for Captain America and Winter Soldier. And I'm not going to say it spoiled me, but it made my face go scrunchy because I saw it and I was like, well, is that there because of that it's a toy, or is it part of the movie, or is it,
yeah,
you know, so kind of to avoid scrunchy faces
or spoilers, yeah, either way.
Well, but again, and you and I have even talked about it a little bit. You know, when you see that toy, it's not 100% that it's a spoiler. It could honestly just be a toy company saying, you know, a good toy to put in this set would be insert this figure type here. But again, I just avoid the scrunchy face.
Unless you don't mind possibly being spoiled.
Yeah, but the thing is even if it's spoiled, it's confusing.
Well, it won't be confusing. If it's a spoiler, it won't be confusing once you've seen the movie.
Well, I haven't seen it yet.
It's true. I can't wait to.
Should we congratulate our newest Mother Avenger?
Yeah, sure.
Scarlett Johansson is pregnant.
She is. And you know what the first thing I thought of, Daniel? Did you know that Halle Berry was pregnant while she was filming Days of Future Past?
No, I did not.
Yeah. Yeah.
But wait. How is it possible for a pregnant woman to be
doing
in a movie?
Flips around people's
jumps,
heads.
Kicks.
Yeah. It's called movie magic.
Oh.
You know, Dana Scully did a whole season of X-Files wearing a big jacket.
Well, I wear a big jacket every day.
Exactly. People don't know you're pregnant.
Exactly.
I'm not quite sure what that meant, but anyway.
No. I'm confused now.
Don't think about it too much. I think you're all hailing the king it. So, but here's the thing. I just thought that was really funny that Days of Future Past, you had Halle Berry who was pregnant, and now you have Scarlett Johansson pregnant as she's getting ready to film Avengers: Age of Ultron. Sounds like they're just readjusting the film schedule so they can do it before she really starts showing, and they would have to write something in about the character. So,
and let's be honest, they've done it before. If all else fails and they need a pickup scene, they can always CGI her.
They could. So we'll see exactly how it all turns out. But basically, it's cool news for Scarlett Johansson and her family.
And congratulations, because we know you're a loyal listener.
But you know, not that big of a deal when it comes down to movie magic.
If you need any tips on parenting for Ben and I, do feel free to send us a direct message.
Hey,
Scarlett.
I've got 5 kids who are all still alive and don't hate me. So I think I'm doing something right.
You're doing something right if you can just get the first part.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all the news.
No.
Oh, that's right. You got one more
thing. We have another piece of news. And this comes from us, from Charles Landy over at Geekland, which is a Facebook group that I'm a part of. They are doing annual pass holder previews at Disneyland right now for Captain America meet and greet in the Innovations Building. So this is officially going to open on the 7th. So in about, 2-3 days whenever we're talking? So for someone who is pretty excited about Winter Soldier right now, like Charles and I both are, who would not want to meet Captain America?
Okay.
You don't want to meet Captain America? Are you an American, Ben?
I didn't say I wouldn't want to meet.
You hesitated. You hesitated. Do you subscribe to some sort of political ideology that ends in ism?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it.
I'm a unshowered hippie communist.
What's wrong with the communists? I mean,
well, I wonder what's wrong with the unshowered part. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah. So Charles has sent us a trip report, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to post this on welcometolevel7.com because it is very, very detailed. But I do want to grab some sections of this here real quick.
Yeah, give us a couple highlights.
So this is the experience of meeting Cap. So then there you are. You step into a fairly large room at the back of the exhibit that's decorated somewhat like the set of the Colbert Report. And the man himself is standing front and center ready to greet you. Holy poop. I had to edit that. It's Cap. I know full well that I am an adult who really shouldn't get so excited to meet a paid actor playing a role in a theme park. But man, I couldn't help it. I could feel my face beaming with happiness as Cap strode over to snap me a smart salute and welcome me to his new hangout. You ready to give me a salute, soldier? Hell yes, I was. I handed the photo pass cast member across the room my camera and my annual pass to record my photos on, took my place on Cap's right side, and took a few pictures saluting with the biggest, goofiest grin on my face. I could barely help it. I figured it would be one and done with the line outside getting longer by the minute, but no, not at all. Cap asked me my name, asked me if I wanted to get one more pose with him. We crouched menacingly with our fists held high and the exact same facial expression on our face, and although he was the only one in the cool costume, excellent work by the WDI costume department on this one, by the way, for a fleeting moment I was Captain America too. I was, to put it lightly, awesome. I even got to take a selfie with him. Just too cool from beginning to end. So, again, we're going to put this full report on there, but who wouldn't want to go through that experience?
That's really cool.
Yeah, seriously. As you're going away, Charles reports, he thanked me for coming, told me I was an honorary Avenger, snapped me another salute, and sent me on my way. Where else are you going to get this?
I really couldn't tell you. Because I don't know who has licensing for...
Well, on the West Coast, you could go to Universal and meet Cap, but I've got a friend who met Cap there, and it was far from this experience, because what Disney's done out at Disneyland is they've got props and memorabilia, and they've got a themed environment where my buddy at Universal just met him on the street. And I definitely didn't get the feeling that Cap in Orlando was saying, hey, you're an Avenger now, buddy. Might be now. But, I mean, again, this is pretty exciting stuff. We're going to be able to begin meeting some of these MCU characters in places like Disneyland. I've seen them extend some stuff with the Iron Man stuff that I saw last summer into the cruises. So, again, between the race and this, we're beginning to take over Disneyland.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, this is where, honestly, Disney buying Marvel, this is one of those situations where it's the perfect match, because this is where kids can go and get their imaginations engaged by these characters.
But if an adult wants to get their picture taken alone with Captain America, it's no problem, because trust me, I've done it with Donald.
Okay, one last thing I do think we forgot about. The voting is still open for what we're going to name the community of listeners. We're
it's
not gonna.
Tight.
It is tight, but you know what? I'm not bothering with that right now. I'm not gonna try and influence anything. I am just gonna say, go to welcometolevel7.com/names, where you can vote for what you think the community should call itself. And I wanted to leave it up. We're gonna reveal it next episode. But Daniel, the most important thing to me was that everyone get a chance to vote who's a part of this, you know, community of listeners. I didn't add up how many people voted, but it's like 30 or 40 or something like that, which is really awesome. But I did want to make sure people who aren't listening in real time would still have a chance to kind of see it show up on Facebook or on Twitter and get a chance to get their vote in.
And I'm just saying, I used it last week. Why won't anyone vote for Skyriders?
I think that the answer to that is kind of obvious. So, we will be unveiling it next week, along with something else I hope that we're unveiling. We'll see. So we'll do that. All right. So should we move on to our mission report, Daniel?
Let's get into it.
All right.
Mission report.
Tahiti, Daniel.
It's a less magical place.
I don't know. It didn't feel very magical. In fact, part of it felt like maybe the basement of one of the buildings on the... on the lot there, but
Tahiti. It's an industrial place.
Yeah. So Tahiti. We didn't do this last week with the name of the episode, or not last week, last month.
Last month.
Last
oh, my
month.
Lord.
With tracks. T, period, R, period, A, period, C, period, K, period, S, period. It was an acronym. Daniel, what did it stand for?
I don't know.
You know, and even Casey didn't know. If Casey doesn't know, if
Nobody
Casey
knows.
Didn't find it in the episode, then it's probably not there. But for this episode, Tahiti.
You mean in this episode, sponsored by Brian and Stuart?
Yes.
Okay.
This episode, sponsored by Brian and Stuart. T, period, A, period, H, period, I, period, T, period, I, period, Tahiti. For some reason, it's an acronym. You know what it sounds like to me, Daniel?
Somebody really wanted their closet to spell out Tahiti?
Yeah. That's really what it is. I just want to know. Again, similar to Deathlock. When they were saying Tahiti is a magical place in episode one, were they intending to have it printed on a door with periods after each letter? And if they were, did they know what it stood for back then? Or is this the kind of thing where they're going to be like, oh, Tahiti, what if it's not just a hallucination? What if it's an actual room and it stands for something like S.H.I.E.L.D.? So, Daniel, here's the deal. When we ask something to our listeners answer.
Oh, they overcut. They over deliver.
No, you say over deliver, and it sounds like a negative thing.
No, we get
what we ask for, and I appreciate that. I ask for people to give us what their interpretation of the acronym might be. We got some good ones. We got some really good ones. And then Daniel and I also have one. But
yeah,
we also got some good ones. So
I still think mine's the best.
Okay, well, we'll see. But first, Ricky said, truly Agent Hill is totally incompetent. So that's
Maybe Ricky's been reading the comics.
Unfortunate. And then?
Travis says, tactical, activity, having... unintentional tertiary impacts.
And, of course, unintentional, he capitalized the I.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
So that the un doesn't count.
I'm not going to call shenanigans. I refuse to call shenanigans on it. It's just creative.
Andrew gave us two. The first one was, this Andrew hunk is totally incredible.
I know Andrew. I've met Andrew.
Is he totally incredible?
He's pretty. I'm good to go with totally incredible. I don't know about the hunk.
I don't know why he didn't go with Hulk, but then he came up with the second one.
Well,
there's a Hulk inside their identities, which that's pretty cool. Next we have Brian.
You mean who sponsored this episode along with Stuart?
It's true.
He says trivial acronyms hide illogical truths incoherently.
As of right now, probably my favorite one.
But he's not done.
No.
Because he also said Tony and Henry invented this instrument, which makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Tony Stark, Henry Pym.
Okay. Okay.
And then they invented the instrument. I don't know what the instrument is exactly, but.
Okay. I hadn't thought it through.
Okay. Andrew said total artificial hallucination inhibiting traumatic incidents. Daniel, his acronym. Describes exactly what Tahiti is.
Well, maybe Andrew's the clairvoyant.
It's a possibility. You want to give us Ricky's?
Yes.
If anyone's going to call shenanigans on any of these, I think this is the one to call it on. Go ahead.
This accidentally happens to include Trevor's one shot. Using the second I as Roman numeral one might be stretching a bit. He even called shenanigans on himself.
He did. And then I said it was good enough, so... And then back to Brian, he says, tequila after Heineken is trouble indeed.
I have heard rumors to that extent. So,
all right. So here's mine. You want to hear it?
All right. I'm ready.
This is really dumb. Tell Avery he's into the Ivy, but Ivy is spelled I-V-I, And do you know what ivy is when it's spelled I-V-I?
No.
It's a Tahitian chestnut tree. That's right. I wrapped it around like that.
Wow.
You don't have to
too much
humor me.
Too much?
Yeah. Don't.
Are you ready? Are you sitting down?
Yeah, sure. I'm sitting down.
This awesome hot mess is tremendously incredible.
I vote for, which one was it? Yeah, I vote for Andrew.
You just totally just ignored me. Okay.
Why? Because you added a word in there?
No, I didn't. It's a phrase.
Yeah, you added a word.
I'm not going to disagree.
No, you.
I will also give my vote to Andrew since he is the clairvoyant. And he knew that we would pick him.
Did he know?
He did. He always knew. There's only one thing he doesn't know.
Well, I think there's something he doesn't know. Because you know what? This is only the mission report. But guess what I'm doing, Daniel?
The new prize winner of the day.
Yep.
That's right. I just gave a no prize during the mission report instead of during the field reports.
That is... You're not trusting the system.
I'm going around the system. Speaking of going around the system...
Is there an airplane attached to your house right now?
There is. There's a smaller house attached to my big house right now.
Is a somewhat disgruntled man in a black coat going to walk in and...
There's so much to talk about, Daniel.
Here's my thumbnail. Are you ready? Start the timer.
I don't have one. Just go ahead and do it anyway.
Sky's shot. She goes to SHIELD Medical. They can't help her. She's going to die. Coulson takes her body in a medical cube, sticks her on the bus, finds where Tahiti is, finds some stuff, fixes her, and is shocked and amazed. How's that?
Sounds good.
Yeah, you know what I left out?
What?
You know, Garrett, Trip, some good stuff. So let's get into it now.
Left out everything. But said everything at the same time. So here, okay. Let's start with the clairvoyant in this episode. Because the clairvoyant is the driving force behind this episode, the driving force behind earlier episodes. We still have not seen the clairvoyant. We have no idea what the clairvoyant wants. We do.
We know but, that part of what he wants is to understand what occurred when Coulson was dead. And that is, quote unquote, the one thing he does not know. And Quinn makes it clear that the clairvoyant knows all sorts of things, has been feeding him all sorts of things, such as where to find Garrett's men to kill them. The clairvoyant also told Quinn to be the one to shoot Sky. Because now he either knew because he was really smart that shooting Sky would motivate Coulson to find the cure and then find the thing that he doesn't know, or maybe he saw it, even though ESP doesn't exist. In the registry.
Yeah. So here we have Sky, the clairvoyant, tells Quinn to shoot her. He shoots her in a way that she is going to die, but it's not like he shot her, you know, in the heart or in the head. It's a gut shot, right? Or two gut shots.
Two.
And so I'm just... Okay. What's good about what the clairvoyant has done... from a storytelling perspective, is it puts Coulson in a do or die situation, but it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. All right. You figure out how they save you and let the clairvoyant see it, or you let her die.
And that's a really, really difficult choice.
Yeah.
Because really the one way that you absolutely positively can stop the clairvoyant is not do what he wants you to do, which is to save your friend.
So from the very beginning of the episode, there are emotional stakes here. Sky is going to die, so Coulson goes against orders. He convinces Garrett to come with him, but in the process finds out that it's even worse than he expected.
Now, and did you get the feeling that it was Garrett who figured out that the clairvoyant was playing Coulson before Coulson figured it out?
Yeah. I did get that feeling.
Yeah, I definitely got the sense that Coulson was kind of blinded to what was occurring and wasn't even thinking. I mean, Quinn was like laying out the breadcrumbs. You're doing what the clairvoyant. It was like all spelled there in bread. You're doing what he wants you to do. And, you know, Coulson was just playing straight into those hands. And it really did take Garrett with the clearer mind to be able to say, no. What's going on here is you're being played.
Yeah, but it didn't matter.
But he was still willing to go along
with
it.
Yeah, Coulson was still going ahead. I mean, he was a steamroller.
But Garrett was willing to go along with it.
Yeah, it seems to me Garrett's just game, man. He's game for anything. Dude, let me do this and help this girl. Sure, I'll talk to S.H.I.E.L.D. I'll convince
some people.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's how he ends every conversation. Agent Garrett, could you fill out this paperwork? Sure.
Can I shoot some people? Yeah, I'll fill out anything. Anything you want. With my gun. So, the clairvoyant, dude, we don't know anything more about him. And yet, it seems like we spent more time kind of with the clairvoyant. I'm really wanting to know, though. The mystery is building with the clairvoyant. And, you know, there are a couple ways where they could just astound us. And one would be if it was the leader. That would be an astounding moment. I've heard people saying they still want Stan Lee to end up being the clairvoyant. But that's not going to work. Because obviously Stan Lee, like I have said before, Stan Lee is actually, in every one of his appearances, a clone of the general from Captain America.
Well, maybe the general had psychic powers.
Maybe.
So I think let's move from the clairvoyant to Quinn, who, again, for this episode, relatively minor character, but he is the one who's giving us the information about the clairvoyant.
Okay, Quinn. Did you expect any of this to happen to him?
To get beat up?
Like he did?
Yeah, because I saw it in the previews.
Oh, I didn't notice that in the previews.
They show May beating him up. Now, did I expect Garrett to grab him by the tongue and threaten to cut it out? In the 7 o'clock hour in my time zone? No.
This guy, man, he deserved what he got. You know, from a justice point of view. You know, he's a murderer, you know, and he deserves punishment. But good grief, I felt bad for him almost.
And then
he would open his mouth and talk again, and I stopped feeling bad for him.
Well, and then that's the thing is when he was opening his mouth, I mean, even with those Garrett interactions, he was taunting Garrett.
Oh, absolutely.
When you're talking about the three men that he killed that was on Garrett's team, you know, that's going to get a reaction. And do you really want to get that reaction from a guy who threatened to cut out your tongue?
But this is where he said, you know, the clairvoyant, he's got my back. You know, I work for the clairvoyant. He's going to get me out of this. He foresaw all this.
The ironic thing is I think it's still possible he might get him out of this.
Yes.
I think when we see Garrett again, which we're pretty sure is not next week, but we know it's coming. I mean, they even hinted to it in this episode. I think when we see Garrett again, it's going to be linked to Quinn again. That's my prediction.
I think – let's see. I mean, I don't. That's the best reason to bring Garrett back, honestly.
Absolutely.
We've got the clairvoyant. We've got Quinn. They're coming back, and I have a feeling that this season is going to be taking down the clairvoyant. And at the end, the clairvoyant is obviously the big bad. And from what I understand about Joss Whedon shows, from Stuart kind of schooling us on it, Stuart who sponsored this episode. I think that we're looking at the fall of the clairvoyant by the end of this season. And I really hope it's just going to be a good, well thought out and well paced revelation and takedown and battle and everything. But we'll have to wait
and see. what we totally forgot to mention?
What?
The clairvoyant has his fingers and has been using Quinn in this Deathlock project. They straight out said Deathlock.
Yes, they did. They actually used the name.
Yeah. Now, in the interrogation, Quinn does hint that the last agent who looked into Deathlok, which I think this was a lot of information to be giving, now had two bullets inside of her. So yeah. Quinn basically just told Coulson and Garrett, yeah, she was on the trail of Deathlok.
But here's what Quinn was doing, is he was pushing Coulson through Sky, and he was pushing Garrett through his agents. And now this information that, you know, you're looking, you're wondering about this Deathlok thing. Well, guess what? Here's the deal with Deathlok is I shot Sky. She was looking into Deathlok, you know? And so this is where, okay, now Garrett's a part of Sky's story.
Well, and you have to assume that when Sky wakes up, she's going to inform, if she wakes up, is going to inform Coulson that what she found was Mike Peterson.
Yes, definitely.
If she can remember it, and if she wakes up.
She'll wake up.
Okay, we already know that. Spoilers, people. If you're listening to us, we're spoiling you.
Well, if you're listening, you've seen the episode. So I think it's a pretty good prediction that she's going to wake up. And I'm not even clairvoyant. All right, so Garrett. Can we get into Garrett?
Let's get into Garrett.
Awesome. I loved Garrett. And he, obviously, all of the jokes about Alien were going around. Bill Paxton in the 80s played a great, you know, frazzled, you know, panicky guy. In this episode, though, in this particular character, cool, collected, he knows what's going on. He knows the score.
He's cracking jokes in face of certain death.
Yep. He's kicking butt, taking names.
You know, he shoots that guard and he never really questions it. He just says, no hard feelings, Bob.
That's what it was. But when I say he's kicking butt and taking names, I literally mean he actually took the guy's name.
You got to like that. You know, I did like seeing Garrett. He is a nice contrast to Coulson because he's clearly a senior agent. But he definitely uses different techniques than Coulson does. They both have a relationship with Ward of being mentors. And so I'd almost argue Ward, Coulson's kind of pushing him to grow because Coulson and Garrett clearly have different skill sets. Clearly have different attitudes, but yet at the same time, they're dedicated to the same mission, the same cause, and have just a huge mutual respect.
Yeah, yeah. What I liked was they didn't butt heads.
No, if this had been a hand situation again, it'd be like, do we really need another agent that's just going to come in and complain about the bus?
No, he comes in, he says, this is my mission, and then he says, I'm going to listen, you know? I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to actually sit down, find out what your story is. Obviously, you're doing this for a reason, and I respect you. Let's talk.
Yeah, let's listen. Let's even come to an agreement, and I'll even help you with dealing with the paperwork.
Yeah, with my gun.
With my gun.
Which, yeah. And, of course, then the opposite happens with Ward and Triplett.
Yeah, but they have the traditional superhero fight that we expect when you have a team up.
Yeah, there has to be a misunderstanding or something that pushes them to fight. And good grief, Ward, he was doing quite well in that little fight there.
But I do think this partially goes back to Garrett. I got the feeling that there's a little bit of competition here because – at one time, Ward was Garrett's specialist. And now Trip is Garrett's specialist. So you almost have, you know, who's the bigger man here? The guy who used to have the job or the guy who has the job? Which one is more capable? And that's really, I felt like it was a healthy ounce, a dose of testosterone playing out in front of us as they were just, you know, who's the alpha here?
He did the Superman jump punch. He jumped and punched. It was the Pacific Rim elbow rocket punch. He, yeah.
That's crazy.
I was proud of Ward for holding his own in that little fisty cuffs.
Who are you?
Fisty cups.
This is not tea time, buddy.
I've got my new Marvel Comics mug that I am drinking decaffeinated Earl Grey out of right now.
Yeah. I'm drinking out of a metal beard glass from McDonald's.
Anyway, let's move on. So Garrett, we both
not
really
exactly
like him.
Exactly canon. So along with Garrett comes Trip.
Triplet. Honestly, he is there, and I was surprised to see him not go off the bus with them. He sticks behind, and yeah, he stuck around because I guess we're going to have a little bit of a romantic entanglement there, maybe?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's been confirmed Trip's coming back. Am I correct?
Yes, I believe so. I think that when Garrett comes back, Trip comes with him.
And we've already established that Simmons does like hunky-hunky men. And Trip he's kind of a sensitive soul. Yeah. You know, he's concerned with family and emotions and things that, you know, again, he's a great contrast to Ward, who's just so, you know, has trouble saying the word sex. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Who's kind of closed off. Trip seems to be very emotionally open and available and interested in our little science gal.
And I am excited to see them both come back. You know, you get to see Trip hold his own against Ward and then connect with Simmons. And so, yeah, it's...
So here's my question. I have two questions about this pair.
Okay.
Garrett, we have 3 more episodes left. 1, 2, or 3, and which one of these does he become a cyborg?
I'm leaning toward the end.
Yeah. Now, here, to be honest, do we think he's going to become a cyborg this year?
I don't think so. I honestly don't think he's going to become a cyborg.
But the reason I ask that question is in the comics, he is a cyborg.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to for this series. For this, I don't think he will.
All right. 1, 2, or 3, how many episodes before Trip dies?
I don't think Trip is going to die.
Are you sure? Because here's the problem. I like Trip, but he's a guest star.
I don't think Trip is going to die. My money, if one of them is going to die, is on Garrett.
No, but when Garrett dies, he comes back as a cyborg.
Well, he wouldn't have been dead, I guess, but...
But he's going to you can't kill Garrett until he goes cyborgy. I mean, you'd be missing a golden opportunity. But Trip was original.
That's true.
And nice. And I really like. And you really like. And if he was to die, would probably upset many people, including Ward and Simmons. Oof.
Look,
I'm just saying, Trip, be careful, buddy. Yeah. Be careful. When you take a step off the curb, look both ways. I'm worried about you.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't worry too much about him. I'm not going to worry too much about him. Okay.
You're just so cold.
I am. I'm cold hearted. Let's talk Fitzsimmons right now. Fitzsimmons, we've already talked a little bit about Simmons having a little, you know, she likes him. She likes Trip.
Well, but does she like him? Yeah, and here's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying she doesn't. She doesn't.
Yeah,
it's not
I'm
not
she saying
doesn't
she
like
doesn't
him.
Like him or does like him. I don't think she's necessarily had the opportunity to think about it.
Okay.
Let's be honest. She's in the middle of something. It's tense. It's stressful. 2 episodes from now, which will be 3 weeks from now when he comes back. Yeah, I think she'll remember that he was there with a shoulder. But right at the moment, you know, I just don't think she's thinking about him that way because she's been too concerned with her friend who's laying on her back. And to be honest, she's the only one who can really keep her alive.
Okay. All right.
But this whole discussion with her and Trip have about Sky, that is... intense for me. Have you known her long? Well, you two must be close. You know, really similar. You know, really nothing alike. And then, again, just showing Tripp's insight, you know. But you'd have a hard time living without her, wouldn't you? You know, Tripp understands relationships. And he has seen in the fact of Simmons' behavior that she is very, very interested and linked and connected. And the word, it's escaping me. She needs Sky as the contrast that complements.
Yeah, again, this goes back to the kind of the theme for Sky's character arc, even though she didn't have much of a character arc in this episode necessarily. But that being, we're her family. You know, Coulson says at the beginning, we're her family. That wraps up her character arc right there. Up until now, is she was looking for her family. She didn't find what she was looking for, but she found family. And now she's dying.
But everyone in the bus has found family.
Yeah, but she was specifically looking for it. You know, and so now she's dying, and these people are going to stop at nothing to help her because she's family. And
should
the clairvoyant knows it.
Should we talk a little bit more about Sky? Because I know that you've made
jokes. Let's hit Fitz real quick before we do that. Okay.
So, hey, Fitz is on he's on the away team.
He is.
I'm trying to use your language there. Did you see that?
Yeah.
What I did there?
I did.
Yeah, we talk about the fact that Tripp's on the bus, and obviously May's on the bus because she's got to fly. But Fitz, he's on the away team, and he is a critical member of this team.
He is. I love his line when they're like, are you scared? He's well, I'm not scared yet.
And he just, and he pops him out of that elevator?
Yeah, he says.
And he's like, confidence.
Because he sees the bulletproof glass. There's nothing to worry about until we open the bulletproof glass. So.
But you didn't, you know, in the first few episodes, you may have gotten the sense, you know, this is a guy you don't take on a field mission. This is a guy you leave in the van that's intercepting the eye camera message. No, he is an active participant. No, he's not walking around with a gun. No, he's not shooting people, but he's the one who's opening the doors. He's the one who's needed to identify the medicine. He is the one. I mean, he in many ways is more critical than the guns.
Well, he's the one that the guns are there to protect and get inside.
Absolutely. So critical moments for him tonight. He's come a long way.
He has.
From hiding underneath a blanket that looks like road with a sandwich.
He has come a long way. And I was glad to see him do that. The other thing I wanted to touch on a little bit was that scene where they're looking for the information. And it's just hand-waving, right? But compare and contrast, please, with me. Coulson and Ward.
A month ago.
Trying to, you know, examine something. And here they are, like, finding a needle in a haystack and doing so nicely.
But again, when you think about it, you know, that scene is just them doing research, you know, and in the 80s, it would have been, you know, somebody plotting through file cabinets or, like, looking on a really, really bad computer. They did a really good job of acting out that scene, especially considering the fact that none of that stuff was there when they originally did it, and making it interesting.
Right. If it had gone on much longer,
it wouldn't
have been.
Yeah, but I mean, when you think about that scene, is they're doing travel records. And you're like, yes, yes, look in there. Yes.
Right, yes. But it's visual. I mean, that's the thing. It's a visual medium, and when you're sitting down typing at a computer in 1982, compared to what they're doing right now, it's realistic in that we accept it. We're suspending our disbelief there, and it's easy to. But beyond that, it looked cool, and the music was really good. So. Okay, so now we can leave Fitz. Where do you want to go, Sky?
Let's go to Sky, because Sky ties into this.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I know that you've, you know, made some winking comments about, you know, she did great for an episode where she laid on her back the whole time.
I want to know, because this happens in every series. There's going to be one episode where someone gets hurt and they just spend time in the hospital. And every time they cut back to them, they're just in bed. What a great week of work.
Well, or a really hard week of work, because if you crack your eyes or a smile, they're going to have to redo.
Maybe.
But I want to get away from Chloe's acting tonight, and I do think I'm comfortable enough calling her Chloe. And let's talk about what other people said about Sky twice. There was two moments with Tech in which Fitz basically said, well, this is going to be hard for me. Sky could do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you hear Fitz basically saying, I've got kind of a deficiency around decryption and around computer things. But you know what? Sky could do this. It'd be no problem. Which, even though she's in this episode relatively silent, with no lines other than a cough and a seizure, her worth to the boss is proven by not necessarily being able to use her.
Well, and that's interesting because we have two driving forces behind this episode pushing the events into action, and neither of them do anything in this episode. That's the clairvoyant and Sky. And both of them, it's because of what happened before this episode. And so the clairvoyant, way ahead of time, has pushed these events into happening. And then Sky, you know, she was shot. And so now she's they're stopping at nothing to rescue her. But it's one of those things where she doesn't do anything in the episode, but the whole entire episode is about her. And I don't know. Again, that's kind of cool. I mean, as an actor, getting a script and realizing I don't do much, but everything is happening. They're talking about me, and they're saying how much they love me. And, you know, when characters love characters, viewers love characters.
But don't you feel that at this point, we've gotten to the point where, as a viewer, when they say they're family, you believe it.
Yeah.
And I know I know in like an issue episode two, I keep saying issue. I got comics on the brain. We would be times where it'd be like, you know, there's kind of some strain there. But in this episode, I mean, they straight out say it. It's only been a few months, but they are family.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel it and you feel for them. And, you know, poor Simmons, you know, you feel for her. Yeah, she's like, you know, I'm a mess. You know, but you did great.
Where do we go from here?
Should we talk about, okay, I got to get this way? Or is it Mord?
Mord. You want to talk both of them or just one at a time?
We'll do them one at a time, but let's do Mord first because I think he's a little bit cleaner.
Yeah, well, we talked about Mord with his relationship with Garrett. And so that's there. His relationship with Trip is on display with testosterone. You know, it's almost a, you know, which child does daddy love best?
That's exactly it. Which one of us is a better reflection of Garrett?
Yeah.
And it is clear that Garrett was someone who has had an influence on Ward and that Ward greatly respects. I mean, when Garrett says to Ward, "How you doing, son?"
Mm-hmm.
You get the sense that, you know, he really does look at him as a major male role model in his life. And that before he was on the bus, that it probably was Garrett that if you were to ask Ward, who do you want to be when you grow up, that he would have pointed to.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that.
But here's where I want to go back to the beginning of the episode. In the waiting room, when we left this a month ago with the whole she shouldn't be there comments from Ward, you and I were speculating that the person he was blaming was, in fact,
Coulson.
Coulson. But it's not. They straight out say, it was my fault.
Yeah. It's an interesting turn. I didn't expect him to bring it back on himself instead. But it makes sense. I mean, when you think about it, he's her SO. Well, guess who his SO was? Garrett. You know, so this is the episode where they bring in that role from Ward's life, and they bring it in on the episode where he's dealing with being that role. It's kind of interesting. I mean, they didn't really play that up, but it's an interesting dichotomy there.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was kind of a big reveal in just the first 5 minutes that Ward was the one who blamed himself for Skye's situation.
And then you have May.
And I'll be honest, I was probably more shocked by her turn in here.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is ticked. Yes, she may be the one at the beginning when everybody's blaming themselves for Skye's situation who does speak the truth. The person to blame is the one with the gun. He's sitting in our bus. You know, she's right. But she is everything we have to do. Let's do it. Take risks. I mean, she's getting emotional about this situation, and she has spent weeks telling us not to get emotional.
Yeah.
And here she is breaking her rules.
Well, this is Ward saying to her, you don't open the blinds like that very often. You know, I think Ward's kind of almost glad to see it. You know, well, there's actually a human inside there. Yeah. Yeah.
She's not a robot.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, they're beating up Quinn, you know, basically saying anything we need to do to save Skye, let's do it. And her description of Coulson,
the people like us need people like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, right there, that was
a great line.
Brilliant line.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Shed and Marissa, for the work of your writer. Fantastic line.
Jeff Bell, I think, was the writer.
Congratulations, Jeff.
If I'm right. And if I'm wrong,
I believe you are.
Congratulations that I mixed it up. So, but yeah.
If we're wrong, they can take it up with Brian and Stuart.
Because they sponsored this episode. So anyway, yeah, Ward and May connecting a little bit. I do wonder if the relationship is going to now deepen and actually become an emotional relationship and not just a physical one.
But look for the preview for next week. I mean, I don't want to jump too much. When you look at the preview of next week, that Ward-May relationship, Mord, is going to be very, very important in that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to say more than that. But, I mean, there's going to be some strains on both the romantic side and, I'm going to argue, on the band of brothers side in their relationship.
Yeah. All right. Who do we have left then?
I
think it's just Coulson, right?
Wow. Clark Gregg, I'm going to get all serious. Just outstanding. He has created this character. He has made this character. And he is able to deliver it in a way that makes you laugh and makes you chuckle and makes you hurt. And he can do it all in the same episode sometimes.
Yeah. This episode, again, it's about him. You know, I mean, we're talking about Skye and everything like that, but anything with Skye is really about him.
Absolutely.
And so here we have, oh my goodness. I mean, he's turning it on. I mean, he is bringing us in. You know, in a lot of ways, he's the reason we're watching this show. This show wouldn't be happening if they hadn't created this character. And you can give a lot of credit to the writers who used, you know, him in different ways in the movies. But the one connecting point with this character throughout all the movies is not the writers, it's Clark Gregg. And here we have, okay, Clark Gregg just playing the character and being the character. And yeah, you get emotional with him. And good grief.
More emotional than you should be in a comic book show.
I would argue not more emotional than you should be, but definitely more emotional than you normally would be. Because, yeah, it's...
And so here's kind of one of the... So I'm going to go out and I'm going to say this right now.
All right.
So I've heard people complain about some of the special effects, that it's not up to the MCU level. And I'm going to be honest. When the bus was taking off and the explosion was going off behind him, I was like, you know, it's a little rough. But to have it followed by his performance right after that, it was it made me forget about it quickly. It almost made me wish that they had found a way to not show the explosion like that on TV. And spare some money on some special effects and just let Clark Gregg and this band on the bus, just let them act and react versus having to show me everything.
Yeah, I feel like they really tried to bite off a little more than they could with those effects shots. And then they turn around and, I mean, honestly, I liked what I was seeing with the lead up to that point. They show that green screen where they're running into the back of the bus. They could have not gone with the wide shot. They could have gone with close-ups, and they could have gone with faster cuts.
Absolutely.
But they went with slow-mo.
Yeah. Continue to put your special effects budget into things like the holotable. Because that really, really works.
Yeah.
But that explosion, it didn't. But a good news, even though the explosion didn't work for me, Clark Gregg immediately almost picked it right back up for me.
Yeah, it was even
it's the acting and the writing and the special effects that are carrying this show.
Yeah, it is, and yeah, the special effects, man, with the planes at the beginning too, it was just kind of a little.
Starfighter.
It was TV. I wouldn't go that far. Oh, there's some really interesting stories about Last Starfighter.
Last Starfighter was some cutting edge stuff at the time, man.
It really was. All right, let's get into Coulson. Let's get deep into Coulson here.
So he tells the kids.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, he told Quinn.
Yeah.
He didn't tell Quinn, but he was saying everything in front of Quinn.
Yeah, I was like, I wrote a note. Why is he talking about this with Garrett in front of Quinn? Yeah. Why? Well, I guess the assumption is the clairvoyant already told him. But did the clairvoyant – well, I guess the clairvoyant didn't know he was dead.
Well, the clairvoyant didn't know what happened, but we don't know what point he stopped knowing, or she.
Yeah, but here's the bit. Everyone in the family, the only one we can't confirm is Sky, now knows he was dead.
I think Sky knows from before.
I think she might.
Yeah.
And he has personally delivered to each and every one of them his version of the story, including his own uncertainties, and is comfortable enough with Fitzsimmons to give them a file they are not cleared to read. That is confidence.
Yeah. We're breaking the law, they said. By looking at us, we're breaking the law. I don't care what your clearance level is. I order you to look through these files. And yes, they only understood 70% of what was in there. And then they follow the paper trail and nothing exists. It's all just smoke and mirrors and lies. And poor Coulson trusted the system.
Yeah. So. But again, just the fact of he's telling everyone. You know, when you talk about things like no more secrets, you know, does he have an other than what he found out at the end of this episode and in the guest house, which we'll get to? Does he have any other secrets? I mean, Ward knows about the Portland cellist.
I don't think he needs secrets. I mean, secrets are going to get in the way of what he wants. He's a man on a mission, and any secrets are just going to cause... Okay, if he kept secrets about what happened to him, he wouldn't have been able to find Sky. I mean, he wouldn't be able to find the stuff to save Sky. No, he wouldn't be able to save Sky.
Yeah, because it's Fitzsimmons that finds the guest house. He would have never found the guest house.
No. And so this is him saying, I got a team, I can trust them, no secrets. Because if I keep secrets, they might not be able to have all the information they need to do what I need. So then you have... Nick Fury with level 10. You have the guest house, the GH-325.
Oh, my goodness. I just figured out the GH could just mean guest house.
Yeah. It could.
Jeez.
It could. But here's something interesting.
And it could be housing a guest.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. I'm so slow.
I wanted it to mean gamma something.
I've been trying to figure out it's gamma what, it's gamma what, and it just hit me. It really could just be in house a guest.
And who's the guest? Well, we'll talk about that when we in a moment here. But, yeah, so...
Welcome to Breakthroughs with Daniel.
When they got to the guest house, I had a distinct flashback. I want to see... We're going to be on the same wavelength on a couple of these things here. But did you get the vibe that I got when they were standing outside the door? All I could think of was C-3PO and R2-D2 at Jabba's palace.
I see it now.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, I mean, it's not the perfect.
Stick a little eye out the door.
Yeah. It's not the, I mean, there's the camera, you know, that was what did it for me. It was the camera. Also Wizard of Oz, you know, where they're outside and, you know, I'll never see Auntie M again. I had an Aunt M too. Come inside. But that didn't happen. You had the two guys inside who, oh man, poor guys.
Yeah, but what did they do other than their job?
I know. I hate that. Now, this wasn't as bad because we don't know exactly what the situation was there. We don't even know whose place it was.
Well, but we do know that Nick Fury has access to it. Hey, so let's stay with Coulson for a little bit. Let's make the guest house kind of part two.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, I hate it when you have the good guys running into a building where they're just killing, you know, guards who, you know, they're just coming in for their work. You know, my job is to come and sit behind this television bank, make sure nobody breaks in, and then I'm just gonna get shot by the good guys. But these two guys, we don't know their situation. And
I'm part of the henchman union.
So keep going with Coulson.
Would he have killed Quinn?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, that was fast. There's no debate there. I do somewhat take him on face value when he points out to Garrett that it was Garrett that made the threat. He just wanted to keep Quinn on the plane. He's mad at Nick Fury. In the waiting room, he's frustrated with Nick Fury.
Because Nick Fury's not getting back to him.
Yeah.
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 Because Nick Fury could clear it all up.
In seconds.
And just say, look, go here. Here's the password. Because that's what they didn't know. What was it? How was your trip to Istanbul or something like that?
It was a magical place. That was the password. Why didn't they just say it?
You think so?
That's what I kept thinking the whole time. Every time they said that, I kept saying, "Hey, it's a magical place." But yeah, I mean, he's not trusting the system. He's not waiting for Nick to give him a call. He's jumping the gun and going. I mean, again, he violated orders by not giving up Quinn.
And it was forgiven, or seemingly forgiven.
Well, thanks to Garrett. But again, he's not trusting the system. To do something like that, he's not trusting it.
So let's talk about the guest house, and then let's wrap up this part of the episode. The guest house houses a guest. I hoped it was Gamma, but it's not. So the big questions are, who owns the place? What organization or government body owns that place?
Well, clearly Tommy Lee Jones has been there at one time or another, because it goes back to World War II.
Okay. Where did you get that? Did I miss that?
They talk about how it was a World War II bunker.
Oh, okay.
Collapsed or something. You know, I think it's Fury's. I think Fury owns it.
Just his own thing?
Well, the thing is they keep saying it's not S.H.I.E.L.D. I kind of think it is S.H.I.E.L.D.
Or is it just they don't know if it's S.H.I.E.L.D. because it's level 10?
Exactly.
That could be.
The thing is when you look at the comics and you look at the history of S.H.I.E.L.D., there's more to S.H.I.E.L.D. than meets the eye. So, honestly, this could be just a S.H.I.E.L.D. shell company, but it's still S.H.I.E.L.D. I think Nick Fury's got his fingers into this thing.
All right.
I think he's more than just a user. I think he's the president. Could, the hair club.
Could be sword or hammer or whatever it was, that the evil shield.
You know what, though? It could be sword. Hammer's the evil shield. Sword's the space shield. And when you find out what's in the closet, you know, it could be sword.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so So the question is, who owns that place? Why is there only two guards there? Is it just because nobody uses it? That's all they need? They're willing to blow it up? Whoever owns it is willing to just say, okay, if someone finds this, we're just going to blow it up.
Boom.
So then the elephant in the room.
So this is clearly where Coulson came back to life.
Yes.
We see the robot. We see the table. We're in the operation deck. And from the observation deck, we go into the other room where we see Tahiti stenciled in.
I don't like that. I'm going to say this right now. This whole Tahiti, it's a magical place. This is the thing we're implanting in your brain. And you know what else? It's also really the word on the door. It's really, you know, what's behind the door. That's a little goofy. It's a little goofy.
A little bit. Maybe someday we'll find out what it is.
What it stands for?
Stands for tall alien laying in
the
I need a water
incubator.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because we got something.
Wait, tall alien laying in?
Oh, I threw in an L, didn't
Yeah,
I?
That's Talidi.
Hanging in.
Half floating. Oh my goodness. So, speaking of, though, Brian actually put something on Facebook just a couple minutes ago. Totally awful, half icky torso inside.
Oh. Yeah, so we got something in there, and you and I have speculated.
There's so much speculation.
I mean, what is it?
Okay, the first thing that came to my mind when I saw that thing, I was like, that looks a lot like the architects from Prometheus.
You know what the funny thing is the first thing I thought is it's Prometheus architect too.
Yeah. It totally, the structure of the head looked like it. There's so many things this could be without us knowing and without us seeing. You know,
so let's throw out some of the theories we had.
Ice giant,
too small,
but kind of bluish.
You have a theory on that one that I kind of shot down because I said not blue enough,
and I said kind of bluish, but blue enough if since it's been pickled, it could be bleached a little bit,
which would make it a
bleached ice giant. What?
He's too small.
No, he's not too small.
Yeah.
Loki was an ice giant.
He's too small.
Loki was an ice giant.
Kree.
Kree. Could be Kree. Kree are blue, right?
Kree are blue. Aliens. Which would be a great tie-in to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the possibility of mutant.
No.
No, good point. Can't say the word mutant.
Not a mutant.
Inhuman.
I wouldn't go with that because, you know, we haven't been really introduced to them at all. And I don't think this would be the way that they would. But you never know. It just seems like this is an alien body type.
It definitely seems alien.
And alien inhumans are actually start out at least with a human body type. It could be. What else did we say it could be?
Those were the ones we had.
Okay.
But it's definitely creepy.
Oh, my goodness. And it's halfway. I mean, it's just half there. Is it still alive?
No, I was waiting for it to look at him, but no, I don't think so.
Well, they're still draining fluids, though.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
They're still draining fluids.
They're harvesting.
Yeah. Okay, here's my theory now. I think this confirms some things about Skye, maybe. Because Skye took the injection.
And took it well.
Okay, so here's my theory then. She took the medicine. She took it well. Skye could be one of those things.
Oh, I did not think about that.
Sky could be. I mean, she's 084.
Are you going to get all cocky and claim this at the end of the season that you called it today?
If I remember.
The whole cello thing?
If I remember.
Okay.
Only if I remember. But, yeah, because I won't remember the stuff that I got wrong. But yeah, I think that that's a possibility. Is the reason, because he's saying stop, because it's something that's coming out of this creature. And then he gets there and he's too late and it actually helps her. Now, I'm still thinking Gamma. And so as she is struggling, as it's going into her, and she's... I was almost wondering if we were going to get like...
A Hulk.
Can you imagine? Mike Peterson turns out to be Deathlok, and Sky turns out to be She-Hulk.
No, not tall enough.
I wouldn't want that to happen. Well, she would get taller as she hulked out.
You know, isn't Jennifer Walters always kind of tallish?
I don't know. I don't want that to happen. I'm just saying, you know, it crossed my mind because I'm still thinking Gamma. Because it's coming out of those blue tubes, is green.
It's green, but and it's being
so unless harvested, someone but, like peed in it and mixed it up, so it's blue and yellow makes green.
But it's clearly a lot of a product from the guest house.
Yeah,
I mean that's what GH is guest house,
and that seems to be the guest.
Yeah, not that it's done. The regenerative powers of this substance doesn't seem to do our dead alien any good.
Not at all. Our dead torso.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah.
All right.
I almost suspected that to be Coulson that we're going to be looking at, by the way.
Oh, man. I was so expecting to see like a Coulson body laying around.
Yeah.
I was so creeped out. Hey, I know we forgot a lot, but are you ready to move to our tag?
Almost. There was one thing I was going to say, one thing more about Coulson, because he's looking at it and he's just terrified. He can't believe what he's seeing.
Well, yeah, he doesn't want her to have the medicine because of it.
And he doesn't want her to have the medicine because of it. And this stuff is in him now.
And in her.
Or is it, just maybe it's flushed through the system or what? But this is the revelation, and this is where it kind of comes into, is this... us finally seeing that my other theory is right, that something so horrible that he would never have wanted it to happen. Did Fury kill that alien to save Coulson?
Hey, I'm just saying this right now. If it's wrong to harvest some sort of biological material from the half-dead torso body beat up, chewed up thing of a possibly blue alien, I don't want to be right. If it's wrong, I don't want to be right.
I knew that's where you were going, and still, as you're saying it, I'm just thinking to myself, this sounds so wrong. But okay, so anyway, let's move on to the tag.
So in our tag, we basically are getting a setup for our next episode, which I think we both believe is Monster of the Week.
Yes. By Monster of the Week, we mean Beautiful Woman.
Yeah, so we get our introduction to Lorelei, who gets Mr. McKenzie to leave his wife, who he loves very deeply.
Okay, wait, slow down. When I saw her walking through the field, at first I thought she was Sky, and I thought this was Sky's Tahiti. At first. And then she got closer and I realized it wasn't Sky. But,
I thought it might be Sky with a dream, but I didn't think it was her Tahiti.
Well, not Tahiti specifically, but like this is her hallucination that's going to come with the chemical. It wasn't. Second thing, who did you mention? What was his name?
Mr. McKenzie.
Okay, McKenzie there.
I can give you his full name here in a second.
I don't need his full name. I just want to say he's taking his bride on a honeymoon to Death Valley.
Hey, Jimmy McKenzie, he knows how to party.
Death Valley for their honeymoon. It's just interesting. Hey, I did not take my wife to a good honeymoon. I'm just saying.
Single guys, let Uncle Daniel help you. When it's that time, give me a quick message, quick call. I'll set you up. Yeah. You'll be going to Orlando. Trust me.
Anyway.
It's a magical place.
Death Valley doesn't seem like the place that I'd want to take my new bride.
You know what I'm worried about, Ben?
What?
I'm just worried next week we might get a Lorelei letdown.
Oh. Only listeners of the Green Screen Podcast are going to get that one, so sorry. But I think, you know, what we're looking at here, I know about Lorelei. I knew that she kind of has seductive powers and, you know, kind of not quite mind control, but mind suggestion, all right? And as soon as I saw this, when I realized that that was Lorelei, and then I see it's a honeymoon couple, I just felt so bad for the...
Yeah, you knew it wasn't going to a good place.
No, it wasn't. And that poor woman being left behind in Death Valley.
But hey, if she's going to get left behind, get left behind now. She can still annul. Oh, that probably don't want to bring legal precedent into the MCU like that, do I?
No. So then you have, you know, the setup for next episode, and we get to see, okay, we know what we're up against here. And it'll be interesting. So anything more to say about that?
No. Right. Let's move on
to our listener feedback.
Let's do it. Let's get into the field reports.
Shield field report.
Okay, not a lot of feedback this episode because we used it up last episode. And there wasn't a lot of feedback last episode because...
Well, there was no episodes?
Right. Got an email here from JD, though, Daniel. And this is something... the first sentence right here. So, remember the rising tide? He says.
Who?
Yeah. A big deal on the show for the first few episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., then dropped altogether. Starting tonight, new episode called Tahiti is the first of a string of episodes under a banner title of The Uprising. And this has been poking in. I did wonder if there would be an uprising connection between Rising Tide and that. I just don't know if they're going to go there. Back to JD, he says, I wonder if the tide is rising up again. Wonder what the writers have in store for us. No doubt all the story points for season one were mapped out from the beginning. Obviously, these episodes lead directly into Cap 2 Winter Soldier, but what the heck will they do to keep upping the ante for the show in the episodes that take place after the movie? My brain can't fathom how different the characters and the atmosphere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be at the closing credits of episode 22 than it was from the pilot episode in 084. I hope Nick Fury does one more cameo appearance on TV before we see him on the silver screen next month. It would be amazing to see him interact with May, Ward, Simmons, Fitz, Garrett, and even Skye. I got excited when Samuel L. Jackson said Fitzsimmons in the second episode because it made those new characters feel instantly legit in the MCU. But to see SLJ on screen with the whole cast would be amazing.
Yes, it would.
Love this show, JD.
You know what I'm still kind of rooting for, still kind of pulling for? Post-credit tag, Winter Soldier, the bus.
We'll see. We will see. Email.
But I think it's a good. I think it's a good way to do it because I don't think we'll see an Infinity Gem in that one.
Who knows? I mean, I don't know where they're going. This comes from William, my good friend from when I was very young. He says, I watched every episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the ABC app on my iPad. I'm disappointed in the last couple weeks as they have made it so you have to wait a week to watch the newest episode if you cannot prove you have a cable company that provides your service. This seems weird as ABC is an over-the-air broadcast. William, I know. Amen, brother. Preach it in your emails. I'm very happy with the show overall, but it wasn't until the last couple episodes where I've been anxiously awaiting the next episode. Right now, I'm waiting for the new one this Tuesday night to see what happens after the cliffhanger last time. Thanks for keeping me company on the long, boring drive. And I'm telling you, that's what podcasts are for. Keeping people company so they have someone to listen to and maybe even respond back to. While they're driving, which is something I do, cleaning toilets, something else I do. Yeah.
Are you going to be mad at me?
For what?
So some news broke today on the ABC front. Dish customers will also gain access for the first time to Disney's Watch ESPN, Watch Disney, Watch ABC Family, and Watch ABC apps, which allow for live and on-demand programming.
Oh, that's good.
For me.
It's good.
Sorry.
For me, not as good.
Not as helpful. No. Okay, what we got next, buddy?
Brandon sends us an email. He says, "Hey guys, big fan of the podcast, All Things Marvel. I was listening recently to your All Hail the King episode, and I have to agree that all of the breaks are frustrating, but it got me thinking. It has been stated by Marvel that the events of Captain America will affect the MCU in a big way, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Is it possible that they are trying to time the airing of key episodes with the release of Cap 2 as a way not to spoil anything? Just a thought." And Brandon, is it possible? Yes. I think it's also possible that they are kind of developing the season knowing the key dates to have in mind.
Well, and I do think the Olympics was a key set of dates right there that they knew they weren't going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we didn't know, but I think they knew that they weren't going to be going up against the Olympic coverage.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
But I will say that I listened to a Jamie Alexander interview earlier today. And in that interview, she had hinted at the fact that originally the Lorelei episode with her in it was supposed to be this week. And that would have had them returning last week, which would have been after the Olympics. And I know that Modern Family, for example, came back last week.
Yeah. And I also wonder if they weren't why they didn't try and have the Sif episode come closer to the release of the DVD.
Absolutely.
So if it came out this week, the DVD came out last Tuesday, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It would have been perfect. It would have been on the day the DVD came out.
Yeah. So the bottom line, though, Brandon, is without asking, I can't. I don't know. And I would like to know. I honestly really would like to know just what was kind of going on with the showrunner's thoughts there, though. So we got another piece of feedback from Brandon. I do not – let me see. Look at the email there. That email is a different one from this email. I don't know if they're the same Brandon.
There's a good chance.
There is a possibility. They both spell Brandon the same. But if you're not the same Brandon, then I apologize either way. I don't know if you're the same one or not. But this is audio feedback anyway, so I'm going to play this right now. Ready?
Yes.
Hello, welcome to Level 7. Agent Brandon here. Just calling in about some feedback that I heard on the show on the last episode about the possibility of Daredevil and the Netflix group of heroes being in the Doctor Strange movie. Now, as much as I'd love to see this happen, I just don't know if it's really the most practical thing. I think the problem with having these big screen characters and these small screen characters is that we can't expect moviegoers to know what's going on in the Netflix series. So if I see a trailer for Doctor Strange and I go see this badass movie, Doctor Strange, and Daredevil's on screen, I'm not going to know who he is, because how do you know I have Netflix? How do you know I've been watching this series? You have to introduce Daredevil in the movie, and then you're going to introduce him, and then you're going to introduce another hero, and then if you're going to introduce any of the other Netflix heroes, there are too many introductions to do. I think the big screen characters need big screen introductions. A big screen character can appear on a TV show, but I don't think it works the other way around without an introduction on the big screen, because we can't expect them to, you know, the moviegoer to understand that. And that brings me to a really important point. A lot of people want to see the S.H.I.E.L.D. team from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show up in the movies, and I really just – that's not that practical, because who in the audience is going to know who half these agents are? If I saw the Avengers and I'm like, oh, the Avengers 2, that looks pretty cool, I'm going to go see it. Doesn't mean I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Doesn't even mean I watched all the other MCU movies. So we can't just throw in Coulson, have him show up in Avengers 2 without explaining how he's alive or anything like that. So here's what I think they should do. I think bring Coulson back in Captain America Winter Soldier. Have his big revival be in Winter Soldier. Don't show us the big secret on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Show it in Winter Soldier. That way the movie-going audience knows that Coulson's alive. Not Chris Evans. Steve Rogers knows he's alive. And then we got that whole thing. And then he can show up in Age of Ultron. Clark Gregg was asked in an interview if he's going to show up in Age of Ultron. He said he was very busy. So whether that means he's showing up in it or not, we would all love to see him show up in it. And I think that would be really cool if he showed up and they had a little bit of an introduction, but we don't need that big of an introduction for Coulson in Age of Ultron because he was already introduced in the Winter Soldier. So I think that's what we really need to do is we need to focus on the big screen characters being in big screen characters staying on the big screen movies, small screen characters staying on the small screen unless they get a big screen introduction. So that being said, as much as I'd love to see Daredevil show up in the movies, I don't see it happening anytime soon. And by the way, I just want to say I just read Civil War, first comic I ever really got into, and oh my goodness, one of the greatest pieces of literature I've ever read. And I will definitely be getting into some more comics. I'm looking into trying out Marvel Unlimited for a month, and I just want to thank you guys for that episode because it was a really good one about Marvel Unlimited. So thank you, Agent Brandon out.
All right, Brandon, you bring up a whole bunch of things, and we don't have a lot of time. It's getting late. Go ahead, Daniel.
But he does have some solid points. I mean, last week we were talking about all these things in 2015, and it is going to be hard to keep up with it.
Yeah. Here's how I see things possibly playing out. I don't see Coulson in Winter Soldier. I just don't. I don't see Coulson on the big screen again ever, to be honest. I just don't see it happening.
Hate me.
I don't. I do wonder. I really, really, really wonder if Chris Evans is actually going to make an appearance on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think that you might see the Coulson reunion with the Avengers basically being him having a moment or two on an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with Chris Evans, with Captain America. Coulson, Captain America, getting together.
Wouldn't it be wonderful?
I mean,
he's shown his willingness in the past to do some similar things.
Yeah, so I really do believe, I think that that's what we're looking at here, is that's a possibility. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think it is more likely than Coulson appearing on Winter Soldier. Although, that's not outside the realm of possibility. But, you know, because he is a big screen character. He was created for the big screen. Unlike our characters who were created for the small screen to be with him on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Truth.
Anything else you wanted to touch on there?
Nope. I do think he has a solid point. There's a lot to keep track of. And unless you're in this community, you may not be keeping track of it.
Yeah. In fact, I know friends who are into comic books and they haven't seen all the movies. So yeah, thank you for the kind words about Marvel Unlimited episode. That was, you know, that comes down to David Clements wanting to talk about it and us wanting to talk about it too, but he brought it up and so we did it and I'm glad we did. And yeah, sounds like Brandon, you made it worth it. It was worth it for us to do it. So, okay. Beyond that, we have an episode next week called Yes Men.
Though it should be Yes Ladies. Wait, no. I just got it.
Yeah. Yes Men, because they're saying...
Yep, they say yes to the dress.
Yeah. I need to get to bed.
So, Ben, do you have anything additionally to say?
To that person out there on Facebook, Robert, who was just trying to pick fights with us today. You know what I gotta say, man? I know you're an internet troll, but no hard feelings, Bob.
Thank you for listening to Welcome to Level 7. We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-77-55, the word level, and then the number 7. That's 1-775-553-8357. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/welcometolevel7. 7 is spelled out. Follow us on Twitter, where we are level7pod. 7 is spelled out. Or email us directly, feedback@welcometolevel7.com. 7 is spelled out. Visit our website, welcometolevel7.com, for news, reviews, and links to our RSS feeds.
Our theme music is The Light Fantastic by J.S. Earls, jserls.bandcamp.com. And again, thanks for listening. And thank you for the kind words about the Unlimited episode. You know, that kind of goes back to David Clements kind of bringing it up. But no, David Hunt.
David Clements.
No, it's David Clements. It was starting Clements over. Welcome to Level 7 is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, and succeed at noodle.mx. Learn how to podcast, get productive in your personal and professional life, theorize over TV shows like Once Upon a Time, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, Under the Dome, and of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Laugh with our clean comedy, delve into science fiction and philosophy, learn critical thinking from movie reviews, and more at noodle.mx.